to be together with you all. It's a joy to see you on a special day. I don't know about you, but I haven't marked in my calendar Pentecost as a top 10 event. Oh, sure, there's Christmas, and we had a glorious Advent season, and there's Easter, and a glorious Lenten season, and then there's Pentecost. So a question, why would we spend a month of Sundays with Easter, with the Ascension of Christ, and with Pentecost? Isn't our faith really about resurrection? Isn't that the Easter message? Not so much. There's more. There's more. There's a new commandment that comes with Pentecost. Remember the new commandment? Oh, sure, there were the Ten Commandments. What was the new commandment? Jesus, when he said something very simple, he said, "I give to you a new commandment." Remember it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. We sang that. With all your mind and with all your soul. And then he said, part of this new commandment, love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then, right before he left, he said, "I leave with you a counselor." Today we call that counselor the advocate. What's that? Or as my friends in New Orleans would say, "Who dat?" Well, that happens to be the Holy Spirit. So, what do Mennonites believe? We had, as promised, two sermons for the price of one. Don gave us a little sermon. I appreciate that. By the way, we forgot to pray for the Ukrainians today, and I apologize, Don. But we have a belief in Jesus Christ, and a belief in community, and a belief that we work actively at peace through our service, through restoring one another. Dennis read a very difficult passage for you today. In fact, it's one of the few places in the Bible where the New Testament is directly linked to the Old Testament. So, how does that work? How does this Pentecost thing work? Permit me. A little story. My mother came from a little town in Minnesota. She used to tell me stories about that town. It sounded a little bit like Lake Wobegon. You know, that fictitious Lutheran town, that little backwater where every man was stronger than average and every woman was smarter than average. That's Lake Wobegon. Except my mom's town was real. It wasn't make-believe. It held 2,000 souls. Seven churches. Let's do the math. Seven churches, 2,000 souls, not a bar, not even one dance hall. Every person in Mountain Lake, Minnesota proclaimed to be a believer. Every church had Anabaptist roots, except one. It was a Pentecostal church. Even Mom, who didn't have a mean bone in her body, would whisper to me, Pentecostals, you know, holy rollers, those ones who spoke in tongues and they rolled around the altar on Sundays. I had a certain view of Pentecost from this description, actually. And I need to confess to you today. I need to confess my sins. I judged Pentecostals. You know, perhaps they aren't as crazy as we all thought. Those holy rollers really do preach new beginnings. They really do listen for Holy Spirit inspiration. They're really open to Spirit work in their lives. They proclaim that. If you would walk with me for two Sundays, let's check in on Pentecost. Let's see if we bump into Jesus while we explore Pentecost. Joel 2:28 is Old Testament. You know Joel. Well, maybe you don't. Actually, we haven't preached about Joel in the last year. Joel was an Old Testament Hebrew. They call him a minor prophet. There's major prophets, minor prophets. Our theological scholars would remind me that Joel is a minor prophet and not studied much. Interesting. Because Peter, the disciple, the illiterate disciple, we think Peter as a fisherman only learned to read when he was with Jesus. He goes immediately back to the Torah and cites Joel. Dennis read it. It's in both the New Testament and the Old Testament, word for word. I think there's something important there. So Joel speaks, not as a minor prophet, but predicting the coming of the Holy Spirit that's going to live with us after Jesus ascends into heaven. This isn't an Armageddon or an end times passage. Please don't hear that. It's a prophecy. It's foretelling a Trinity God. You know Trinity, Latin for three, the three in one. It's kind of like these candles. You can light one and you get some light. You light two and there's a little more, but they're complete with three. The three in one. Joel says there are six ways that the Holy Spirit is going to be with us. Count them. The Spirit comes to all people. By the way, us Mennonites don't own that. The Holy Spirit will come to all people. Sons and daughters will prophesy. The young ones, I see a few of you here, you're going to be the prophets. You're going to tell us what the future holds. You are going to become the future. There's more. Old ones, that's me. We're going to dream dreams. The young ones are going to see the vision. We're going to dream the dreams. The young ones will see the vision. Wonders will be seen in heaven and earth. And here's the clincher. An Old Testament passage says, call on the Lord and be saved. Acts 2. I've always brushed over this one. This one is hard. I didn't get what was happening in Acts 2. Let's set the stage. Jesus has left, resurrected. There was 40 days. By the way, 40 is a holy number. We'll talk about that a little bit. Jesus was resurrected, and for 40 days was kind of among us and kind of not. And then there was the ascension. Some folks in other denominations focus on the ascension of Christ. Literally, he leaves physically, from the physical to the spiritual. A mystery. What's next? What's next? Peter and the disciples are in a house, apparently a large house. 10 days after ascension, now 50 days after the resurrection, this is about bumping into God in real life. You remember the first time we bumped into God? Us collectively, us human beings, you remember it? There was this tribe of misfits wandering around in the desert, kind of like us, wandering around. The Hebrews were lost. And Moses goes up on a mountain. Remember that part? He goes up on a mountain and there is a bush burning with a fire that doesn't go out. First time we bump into God, what happens? Collectively, we're given the Ten Commandments. That's the first time. That's the first candle. That's the God of the Trinity. The second time we bump into God, remember that? Jesus starts his ministry. He's baptized with water on the Jordan River, and God speaks as a dove of light. Remember what the dove said? "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The second candle is lit. Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness preparing for ministry. Remember that, the 40 days before and the 40 days after. The third time we bump into God is shortly after Jesus has ascended into heaven, as we talked. The disciples, they've replaced Judas. There's now 12. The disciples are fearful. They're lost. They're hiding. But they're called to a meeting. They're meeting with holy men from every civilized nation in the known world. Dennis didn't read them. There are words in there I can't pronounce. But read those nations. They still exist. Asia Minor still exists. Crete, the island of Crete, still exists. These are the lost tribes of Israel. That's who these people were. For some reason, they're assembled in Jerusalem. Somehow, they came together, representing the nine nations. Okay? My Jewish friends remind me there are 10 lost tribes of Israel. There's only 2 left. But for some reason, there's 9 of the 10 lost tribes right here. Then, these 4 wonders happen. 4 wonders. First, Dennis read, a sudden wind from heaven. A sudden wind, and then there's this fire again. And a center of fire, it's burning in the middle of this group of people, and the flames separate and dance on each person's head. Isn't that mystical? Isn't that odd? And what happens when the flames dance and baptize these people? 9 nations, each speaking their own language, suddenly they each hear each other tell the good news. And then finally, there's this energized God vision that comes to them. The 3-in-1 are now complete. A wind from heaven, centering flames, spirit-filled joy, energized God. Well, first thing we do as humans when we see something mystical is deny it, right? So there's a bunch of people outside this house. They're something's going on in there. These holy rollers are just rocking. The first thing they say in mockery is, these are Galileans. They're uneducated. Psst, psst, psst. They're not the priestly class. They're people like you and me. The second mockery is, and I had to look at a couple versions. Dennis's version was the NIV. The King James Version, as well as the Peshitta, the Aramaic version that Jesus spoke, says they were mocked as being drunk on new wine. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you've drunk new wine, but it's not advised because it's bad and you kind of get giddy. You kind of laugh a lot and do stupid things. So they're mocking these disciples. Drunk on new wine, are you? How can that be godly? Have you ever witnessed this kind of transforming power and hope? Has it ever happened to you? The disciples finally have moved from grieving the loss of their leader, their Jesus, to a Christ of joy. They have been touched. They've been baptized by fire, and something amazing happens. Read your Bible again, because before Pentecost, these folks are called disciples. A disciple is a student, quite literally disciples of Christ. After Pentecost, they're called apostles. Apostolic in Greek, in the Greek translation, means messenger. So they, you, move from studying Jesus to being a messenger of Jesus. That's what we're all about. That's when the three become one. This day, this spirit work on Pentecost explodes outward, and the church of Christ blazes into the entire world after this one day, at this one event. Where does that leave us? Most of us, hopefully all of us, have been baptized by water. If you haven't, I'd be glad to help out. But our baptism is water, as Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. I missed that flames part. Somehow I haven't really been on fire. Maybe it's just me, but I don't always wake up on fire for Jesus. I hope you do. You see, for me, day-to-day life is just too kind of ordinary. But this week, tomorrow, it's time to change. What if just once this week, this next week, you woke up at dawn, run outside, enjoy? And what if you just heard the voice of God? Maybe you just can't wait for the songbirds singing out there. Or maybe you can't wait for the rustle of that gentle breeze in the trees. Or maybe you just can't wait for the radiance of sun. I hope you listen. And what if once this week, just once, you were transformed into a messenger? An apostle of hope and goodness. What if just once you didn't do a random act of kindness? You've seen that bumper sticker, right? Do random acts of kindness. Don't do that. Don't be random about it. Intend it. Be a messenger. What if you tried something new, like dreaming new dreams? Us old people, we're supposed to be dreaming new dreams. And you young folks, our leaders, the ones we're turning the keys of this church over to in 15 years, you, what if you saw a new vision
of what this earth is about and what this world is about? What if, like Jesus said, you just loved your neighbor as yourself? Let me ask you one last question. Who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? Why, Jesus said, it's anybody you meet. Are you up for the challenge? Have you been baptized by fire? I pray that. Amen.
For our closing, let's stand and turn to page 428. Page 428.
Lord, let us now depart in peace, who in thy name are gathered here. Disclose the brightness of
now may you go out. Be messengers of peace. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you this week. And may you be the messenger of the Lord. Go in peace.